The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. You are welcome to dial in anytime at 888-914-9149. And if you missed any part of our conversation today, be sure and go to relevantradio.com. You can go ahead and just put in the backsplash for my show page. It's relevantradio.com/Drew. And it will bring you to our podcasts and a whole lot of other things. You can send me your prayer intentions, by the way. I'll be taking them to the Holy Land with me. You can put them up there. You know, we need to pray for our country, clearly. We'll continue to monitor this. And Maggie will put up on our Twitter page also some of these articles that you just heard us talk about with Dr. Teresa Collette. But I want to talk about conversion today. You know, every week, one of the things I'd like to do, maybe on this Wednesday, was do a segment called Touched by Grace. And this is going to be a series where I'd like just to feature something that's good, something that's true, something that's beautiful. We're surrounded by so much ugliness, aren't we? So much violence with these protests. You know, the water levels in Lake Mead are dropping. You know, Vladimir Putin is lobbing bombs. I mean, the economy, you can go through all these things. It's easy to get robbed of your hope. But I just think God's grace is always at work. And I'm going to bring to you stories of people who have either found God on a wonderful journey, or whose marriages might have been fortified or might be open to life now. I mean, there's a lot we're going to be talking about in the days ahead. If you've got a great story, send it along or tell me about it. Send me a link to the story. I'd like maybe to profile it. I came across the story of a couple named Paul and Carol Quist, and I think you'll enjoy their conversation. Their conversion story is a lot like Scott Hahn's. He was a Presbyterian pastor, became Catholic, and that might seem like a rarity, but I think those types of conversions probably a little bit more common than you might think. How about a Lutheran pastor for 16 years in Canada, then converting over to the Catholic faith, then moving not to the U.S. or to even Rome to study more about it, but heading all the way down under to Australia? Well, that's part of the story of Paul and Carol Quist, who came into the Catholic Church in 2005 after a lengthy journey of prayer, of study, of fasting, and then more prayer. That's what's so important. Good to have you both with me today. Paul, Carol, welcome. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you. We're delighted to be with you and have an opportunity to share a bit of our story.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Thanks for having us.
I think people are going to be blessed by it. I love it. I really do believe God is always reaching out to us to draw us into a closer union and relationship with him. About an hour ago, we prayed the Chapel of Divine Mercy on the air, and we had a lot of calls for conversion, people whose children are away from the faith or whose spouse or their loved one. And, you know, your stories inspire me. You're both, I believe, of Scandinavian Lutheran background. So
that's right. Yeah.
How many generations back do you need to go to find find a Catholic in your family tree? Probably a long way, huh?
Oh, yeah. I think you'd probably almost have to go back to when the Reformation hit Sweden. I'm 100% Swedish, and I've got so many. My maternal uncles were both pastors, and I've got cousins who are pastors, and same on Carol's side. And so, I mean, we both were Lutheran for many, many generations.
Yep. And you both had no doubts, right, about your Lutheran faith?
No.
While going to school after marriage, right?
Yeah, no, we were very happy being Lutheran. And, you know, I thought I would live and die a Lutheran. But there were a few niggling doubts along the way. For one thing, shortly after I was ordained, in 88,
Let me jump in for a second here for you,
yep,
for you and for Carol, because not everybody knows all your stories. Bring us back to where you think is a good point to start, and tell us your journey. Tell us that story.
Okay.
You know, people don't know that you were actually ordained as a minister, which I think is a great part of the story. But bring us back and tell us how the story began.
Okay. So we were married in 82. I was ordained and in my first parish in 88. And we were happy, you know, but we started to question all the confusion that was arising in the Lutheran Church, and we were looking for answers. And really what we were looking for, we didn't even realize, was we were looking for the magisterium. Because, you know, in church conventions, we would vote on morality, and it just didn't seem right. And a bunch of us more conservative, more Orthodox Lutherans were gathering, trying to figure out how are we going to keep the church off the Lutheran Church off the rocks of moral relativism.
Right.
And one of my heroes, Richard John Newhouse, you know, was a Lutheran pastor, and then he converted. Yeah. And I thought, you know, that was a bit of a defection, you know. But then my own Lutheran bishop in Alberta retired early, and he became Catholic.
Wow.
And eventually became a priest. And so, of course, that rocks your boat even more. And I had started, I joined a ministerium called the Society of the Holy Trinity. And it was a pan-Lutheran organization for the clergy for the renewal of their ministries. And it was kind of based on the Benedictine rule. And we said in there that our destiny as Lutherans was reconciliation with the bishop and Church of Rome, right? And so it was kind of a pro-Catholic group. And I began to ask myself questions. Why am I not a Catholic? Why am I not a Catholic? And, you know, because there are a lot of misunderstandings among Protestants about Catholicism, and I'm sure other of your guests have discussed some of those things, you know, thinking that Catholics worship Mary and all
right,
that.
Yeah.
And so we started to ask questions and started to read. And then, Carol, you tell them what happened in 2000, and it was 2003. Carol attended a conference.
I think it was October of 2002.
Yeah, 2002.
Yeah. And, this conference I went to with my father, actually, down in Kansas City, Missouri, because we'd been hearing that the church was aiming towards blessing same-sex unions and ordaining practicing homosexuals, and it was kind of like a lot of us were concerned about that because it really seemed to go against Scripture, and it does go against Scripture. And so I went down to this conference, and I actually went with my dad because Paul couldn't go. Sometimes you can get a weekend away, but there were some other Lutheran pastors who went. And as I listened to kind of the discussion that was going on and how are we going to deal with this, we're coming up to a national convention, there was the hosting pastor had invited a good friend of his who happened to be a Catholic priest, Father J. Scott Newman from St. Mary's Catholic Church in Greenville, South Carolina. And, you know, his voice just stood out to me. It was like he was the calm in kind of a panicked room. I mean, it wasn't like all panic. There were some really amazing friends of ours and people who we really respected. But Father Newman was at peace, and he had this sense of authority. And there were different statements that he said. I remember one of them was just about, you know, just about that there obviously is differences between a small sin and a large sin, and that was, like he said, you know, obviously it's different if you, you know, take a pencil or a pen home from work or if you kill someone. And really, one of the things that I had thought as a Lutheran pastor is if you sin, it's a sin that cuts you off from God.
They're all sins that are moral, essentially.
Right.
There's no difference.
But he just had this sense of authority, and he was very much at peace. And I went up to him afterwards, and I said, you make me want to be Catholic. And he just kind of smiled at me. The conference was over that Saturday. It was a Friday-Saturday conference. And my dad and I, our flight didn't leave till late on Sunday. So we went to church the next morning in this Lutheran church, and the hosting pastor had invited Father Newman to preach. And it happened to be Reformation Sunday.
Yes, the last Sunday of October when we celebrate Martin Luther and Lutheranism.
Yeah, and usually we would wear red and we'd be, yay, Martin Luther, you know. But anyway, of course, this homily was very different from anything I'd ever heard in a Reformation sermon before. He spoke of this 500-year-old division, this divorce, that greatly saddens the heart of God. And I was in tears, and other people were in tears too. And of course, during communion, wow, when we went up, of course, Father Newman sat, and it was very moving. And also, again, I'd had that sense of his authority and his peace in the midst of what seemed to be turmoil. And so when I came back home from that weekend, I said to Paul, wow, we have to be in touch with Father Newman.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul started emailing, and he started telling us, oh, you've got to read, Crossing the Tiber, or Evangelicals Not Enough, or...
By Thomas Howard.
By Thomas Howard, and Rome Sweet Home, and some of the typical ones. And we started asking him questions, too. So that was a big part of it. Mm-hmm. There had been other little things before, but that was probably the biggest point for me. We were just, the books really started, I think we read our way into the Catholic Church because the books were just kind of growing, the stacks on either side. And I guess unlike, Scott and Kimberly Hahn, we were really kind of in sync. Like I would read something and I'd say, wow, the Catholics seem right on this. And then Paul would read something. He was reading A Witness to Hope. And I said, I have never heard of anybody ever in my life, because, of course, we weren't familiar with the saints. I've never heard of anyone in my life like this John Paul II. Like, how can a person be like that?
Yeah.
And so, we were reading back and forth, kind of, and just starting to immerse ourselves in the beauty of the Catholic faith.
Oh, I remember at one point I was sitting in a Tim Hortons restaurant, a coffee shop, mm-hmm. and I wore the black clerics with the little white tab and all that, and so I kind of looked like a priest, but I was surreptitiously reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church, hoping none of my parishioners would see me. and I was reading this section on human, on anthropology, and it was about the dignity of the human person. And because the anthropology between, Lutherans and Catholics is very different. You've probably heard the old anecdote about Luther saying that we are just piles of dung covered with snow. And so, there's just this forensic justification that we're covered with Christ's righteousness, though we remain sinners. But, of course, in the Catholic faith, we believe that we are, yes, we're mortally wounded by sin, but we still retain the image of God, the Imago Dei. And so if you scratch deep enough, you're not going to find dung. You're going to find gold. You're going to find the image of God. And it was like the scales fell from my eyes. It was like a Damascus Road experience for me. The scales fell from my eyes, and I looked at everybody in that coffee shop in a whole new light, like I'd never seen them before. And that was just one of the experiences. And then the following year was kind of the clincher. So this would have been in November of 2003. And Carol, you tell them again what happened in November.
Great. Well, I was actually, at that point, I was already taking a course at Newman Theological College in Edmonton, Alberta. And I was learning about, it was an introduction to moral theology. And anyway, I went in during a break during my course into the staff room, and there was a pamphlet sitting there that was talking about a guy named Christopher West who was going to be talking about theology of the body, which I didn't know about, but there was enough there. There was a paragraph or two, and it was enough to say that I knew that Paul and I needed to go, that we were concerned about the teaching of the church about the human person and about human sexuality, about marriage, and I knew that we had to go. So we went to this conference in November of 2003, and Paul couldn't even be there for the whole thing, but because he had a meeting at church, but most of it he was there, and we it was like almost every word that Christopher West said as he was expanding on this beautiful vision of the human person, mm-hmm. it was like every cell in our bodies was just saying, yes, this is true, mm-hmm. and yes, it's like this is the answer, and people need to know the beautiful plan that God has for life.
And for marriage and sexuality. And in fact, on the Saturday, so it was a Friday night and a Saturday, and I, at the lunch break, I walked up to Christopher West and I said, hi, I'm a Lutheran pastor and I'm feeling very drawn to the Catholic Church. And he said, let's go have lunch. And so we went into the cafeteria at the hotel, and I don't even think we ate. We just talked and talked, and he just kept saying, keep saying yes, like Our Lady, just keep saying yes. And that night when the conference was over, Carol and I went to bed and we just wept. I mean, we wept because we had never encountered anything that was so patently true and good and beautiful. And we wept because we had been duped by the society, you know, with a contraceptive mentality. And we didn't feel shamed or attacked or judged. but we knew the church was right, and so we wanted to bring our lives into accord with this beautiful vision, and we wept too because we knew we had to become Catholic. I mean, we were given freedom, but we knew we wanted to become Catholic, and this was going to cause a great deal of upset in our lives. You know, because if I'd been a dentist, we could have switched churches on Sunday and I could have been drilling teeth again on Monday. Right. But it wasn't quite that simple. And so we knew, you know, I used to joke, you know, if I ever left the ministry, I don't know what I'd do because I don't have any marketable skills. You know, what do you do with a master's of divinity if you're not a pastor? And so we talked to Christopher West and others, and we decided that we would go to Australia to study at the John Paul II Institute, and because Christopher West recommended that one, and he had been there.
And we wanted so much to be able to share this beautiful teaching. It was like as we were listening to him teach, it was like, I want to do that. I want to teach people about God's gorgeous plan for the human person, and how marriages can be healed, and how sex is sacred and beautiful, and how marriage is for life, and how, you know, we're meant to honor one another and become one, and to have children, be open to the gift of life, and that whole teaching about contraception, about the whole teaching of humana vitae, that basically theology of the body explains. It takes a lot of teaching to really get that across. I mean, but the philosophy and the biblical anthropology behind all of that is so profound and so beautiful that when we grasped that weekend, it was like, if the Catholic Church is right about this, and most people don't know that, most people, and even most Catholics still don't understand that. But when we got it, it was like, if the Catholic Church is right about this, we must examine these other teachings that we think are kind of weird, you know, about purgatory or about relics or about Mary, that just didn't seem right to us. Right. We have to examine those things because this is true, and this is an amazing teaching that everyone needs to understand. And so that kind of almost forced us into asking a whole bunch of other questions. And every single time when we dug deep on any one of those questions, it was like, that is true, and that is beautiful, and that is deep, and you can't even get to the bottom of it. Like, there's these mysteries, and you just keep digging deeper. Still, today, we've been Catholic now for 17 years, I guess, and it's like we keep learning more. There's another order. There's another saint. There's another deep teaching, and it's like, wow, I never got that. And so it's like it just keeps growing. And we used to be, in a way, maybe not so much, but we thought we were kind of like big fish in a smaller pond. And then all of a sudden, we're these little tiny krill in
the ocean.
Right? Because, like, we're nothing. I mean, because we didn't know, like, we knew, like, the Lutheran Church is quite small in Western Canada, so we knew, you know, most of the pastors and so on. And then we thought we kind of had things figured out. And then all of a sudden we're in this Catholic faith, and it's so big, and it's so beautiful, and you just keep digging deeper. And so it's been just an amazing journey with lots of crosses along the way. But then you find out, again, that's another teaching that's so much deeper, we found anyways, in the Catholic faith, that it's so much deeper, this redemptive suffering, and that our sufferings, as it says in Colossians, that our sufferings complete the sufferings of Christ on the cross, and that we're actually to cooperate with His grace. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so after Christopher West, for Christmas that year, we bought each other rosaries and started praying the rosary.
Wow.
And then at the end of March, I resigned from my parish, where I was pastor for 12 years, And then in June, we sold our house and we moved to Australia and brought our three children over. And then we were all received into the Catholic Church at the Easter Vigil at St. Patrick's Cathedral in 2005. And it was a wonderful day. You know, we all had our first actually I jumped the gun a little bit on confession, but yeah. Everybody else had their first confessions on that Saturday before the Easter Vigil. And honestly, we have been grateful and will be eternally grateful ever since. You know, if I can, Drew,
yeah, sure.
I'd like to just read one paragraph from my letter that I wrote resigning from the Lutheran clergy to my Lutheran bishop. And it's just a little...
Yeah, no, go right ahead. I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so he's been retired for a while now, so I think I can use his first name. Bishop Steve, on more than one occasion, you've used the metaphor of a campfire for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada and urged us to stay put, that we need to hear from all the voices around the campfire. I think that's an apt metaphor. We and all the other Protestant denominations have been huddled around our respective campfires, out in the wilderness, having left or been driven out of the city on a hill. Around our campfire, I have found warmth and comfort. I have found love and friendship. I've learned to pray. I've enjoyed a rich tradition of hymnody and liturgy. My fellow campers have introduced me to Jesus and taught me to think theologically. Indeed, as a pastor, I've had my turn at song leading and telling the story around the fire, a great joy and privilege for which I'll always be grateful. But a campfire isn't home, and camping is only provisional. It's not meant to be a permanent condition. Eventually, campfires go out, and everybody goes home. And I've heard the voice of Mother calling me. At least for me, it's time to go home.
Wow. That was both beautiful and inspired. Wow. What a beautiful way to put it. So you leave. You enter the Catholic Church. I'm just curious because you're not a dentist. What did you do financially to support your family? Because you know what that says to me in some respects, Paul? It takes so much faith and trust in God's providence. And for you, Carol, too, you know, you're there with him. You're walking shoulder to shoulder, you know, to say we've got children, you know, we've got to trust in the Lord. But this is the truth. And this is where the path of truth is leading me. We're going to follow. What happened next?
So we both completed our coursework at the, you know, in 2006, and we moved back to...
Well, even before that, Paul, just sorry,
oh,
let
ahead.
Me interrupt.
Go ahead.
It was daunting. It was like when we heard Christopher West, it's like, okay, I remember saying to Paul, I want to do what he does. And then it was like, okay, well, how is this going to happen? And really, what we ended up doing is we sold our house. We used our equity, basically, to fund this. And we kind of figured it out. Like, we figured out that we'd just be able to squeak by doing this for a couple of years, and we thought we might be able to work a little bit, but ended up that we really didn't. But that's the way we did it is we sold the house, and thankfully we've been paying down, you know, a little bit extra and stuff. And it was actually cheaper for us to move to Australia, even though we had, you know, five tickets and stuff, then because the tuition at that point in time, at least, was cheaper than in the States. And then, of course, the Canadian-U.S. Exchange rate was a lot bigger than the exchange it's almost the same with Australia. It still is almost the same. So, and then since the tuition was cheaper, and then also health care is like next to nothing in Australia, whereas it's quite expensive in the States. Yeah. So we figured it out, and we did... You know, people say, oh, you have so much faith. In a way, I mean, okay, faith is a gift from God, so thank you, God, for whatever faith we had. But also, it was almost like the other options, everything else just seemed to not work. And God had been preparing us. Kind of, we knew that our time was kind of running out everybody loved Paul and loved his preaching and stuff. But it just felt like it was time to leave that church, and we couldn't imagine, because we were becoming more Catholic, we couldn't imagine going into another Lutheran church. And I mean, we did consider something like, you know, Paul maybe being a truck driver or something, and me going back, because I was a stay-at-home mom, but I could have gone back to some of my media stuff or writing brochures.
Well,
and that kind of.
Let me just interrupt for one second.
Yeah.
Hold it right here. When we come back, I have to take a short break.
Oh, you bet.
We'll conclude. We'll find out what happened. And I also want to know what the hardest Catholic Church teaching was for you to learn to accept. I know there's a lot of them out there, you know, justification, a whole litany of other things, justification by faith, etc. But we'll talk about that and more. If you want to join us, our number here is 888-914-9149, speaking with Paul and Carol Quist about their journey into the Catholic faith and how God works. And I got to share the same passion. The more you learn about the faith, the more you don't know. And the more excited you get about how good God is.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Keeping you better informed, educated, and inspired. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you today. We're talking about God's grace and exploring the life of a couple that has been touched by His grace. It's a delight to have Paul and Carol Quist on with us this afternoon. There's a wonderful story of conversion from being a Lutheran pastor for 16 years and pursuing the truth. And if you are on the fence, if you're unsure about something the Catholic Church teaches, look into it. Look what the church has to say and why. I think as you begin to pursue truth, and if you ask God for it, you'll surely find it. Coming up in just a moment or two, Jeannie Hahnemann's going to be stopping by as well. And want to first, though, go back to Paul and to Carol here and just kind of get conclusion to their own story and where they are. So you made this journey. Paul, I never did hear what you decided to do. And I'm also curious as to you know, what some of the most difficult aspects, the hardest teachings were for you to ultimately accept and where you are now.
Okay. Well, when we came back from Australia, the first thing I did was, because I had been in conversation with our Archbishop back in Edmonton, and so he made me the director for the Marriage and Family Life Office, and I did that for 3 years, and wonderful people to work with, you know, it wasn't quite the right fit for me. I missed pastoral ministry, and because this is mostly an administrative position. And so in talking with my spiritual director, the pastor at Holy Trinity out in outlying community in Edmonton, he said, "Why don't you come to work for us?" And so we worked for 10 years doing marriage and family ministry at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Spruce Grove. And in addition to that, because I did an STL, you know, a licentiate in marriage and family, I also then have the license to teach theology. So on various occasions, I've also taught for Newman College and for wow. St. Joseph's Seminary. And Carol and I, on a couple occasions, have even team taught. And so I've taught in moral theology and then also, of course, in marriage and family.
So, Paul,
and in fact, we just finished teaching a course up in Edmonton online while we were in Texas. Yeah. So that's been our source of income. As hard teachings, the thing that comes to mind is about Our Lady. I remember writing to my former bishop who had become a Catholic priest, and I said to him, Bob, this was before he was ordained, actually. I said, Bob, how can Mary hear the prayers of a billion Catholics in hundreds of languages all at the same time? It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, she's only a human being. And he said, well, you know, Paul, I mean, she has the beatific vision now. It's all God. I mean, God gives her the ability to do this. And you know what? That just calmed me down because, you know, I mean, and of course, he pointed me to St. Louis de Montfort and you know, how Mary is really, I mean, she's the greatest of all the saints, the greatest human being, yeah. But in comparison to God, she's less than an atom. And so, like was said during the break, you know, we don't adore Mary. You know, we love her. We honor her. We ask her to pray for us. But his reply to that question really calm me down and help me to see the sense of it. Anything you'd add, Carol, or take in a different direction?
That was all so hard for me, Mary, and I, for some reason, it took me a while to understand that, like mediation, that it's not Mary wasn't standing in between me, somehow blocking me from Jesus, you know, or kind of diminishing him. It's everything that she does is she points us towards him. And same thing with the saints, because we would celebrate All Saints Day, but that was about it. Like, we didn't talk about saints. And when you would ask people who actually really knew Lutheran theology, it was like, you can't really become holy. I mean, some other Protestant denominations do believe, like, they have, you know, a strong holiness thing. But if you really read, if you really understand Martin Luther, it's like, well, you can't really become holy.
Right.
And so so I didn't understand saints that much. But then when I started understanding that this, that they can mediate in this beautiful way, and they can just kind of magnify and purify our prayers, it gave me a lot more peace.
Yeah, they don't get in the way. They bring us to Jesus.
Yeah, and amen. So now it's like, I can't get enough of our Blessed Mother, right? It's like, please, it's just so beautiful, that deepening relationship.
I'm with you. I could not agree more. She'll speed you down the path to holiness. So, first of all, I want people to be in touch with you if they want to bring you in to speak or they want to hear your story. Is there a website or something people can get connected to you with?
Yeah, well, we're just starting now to, feels like God is calling us here to Elizabeth Ministry up in Wisconsin. It's in Kaukauna, Wisconsin, and there's a place called Zechariah House of Healing, and we're going to be helping out as house hosts there at a retreat center and doing some, like, pre-retreat and post-retreat for pilgrimage to, there's two beautiful shrines here in this diocese. And one of them is the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. It's the only approved apparition in the United States, Marian apparition. Sure. And another one is the National Shrine of St. Joseph. So there's this wonderful opportunity to help people get ready for that experience, that pilgrimage, and then to unpack some of that with them. So we're going to be moving up here from Texas. We've been down there for a few months. And good, so the address is there. There's ElizabethMinistry.org. So it just, as it's one word, ElizabethMinistry.org is probably the main one. There's also another couple that will be helping out a bit. Jeannie Hanneman will be on it here in a moment. She and her husband Bruce lead ReclaimSexualHealth.com and NavigateBetrayal.com, where there's a lot of healing of people who've have sexual addictions or infidelity. So there's we're going to be helping out Bruce and Jeannie somewhat.
Yeah, well, Jeannie has done a wonderful work. I know she's the foundress of Elizabeth Ministry. Is the reason did you suffer loss through miscarriage? I didn't get that in your story.
We actually, when we were working, the way we got connected with them was when we were working up at the parish in. Oh, no, I know. We met them through a marriage and family life conference, actually down in Texas. And so we were there, and then when we heard that they knew some of the same people that we did, we connected, and then we said, we have to get them up to talk with some of our people about, because we know that pornography is such a huge issue with so many people.
Oh, yeah.
And so we got them to come up for a week or so up into Alberta, and that's how we connected. That's like, I think, 2013.
Yeah.
So that's how we got to know them.
I want to thank you both. Paul, I want to thank you. Carol, I want to thank you. I wish you the very best. You're going to love the northeastern Wisconsin area there. Mm. I think you've lived in a lot of places, Australia and Sweden and all over the planet. So Texas. Green Bay is a very different world, though. Great. A lot of Catholics in the area, but get ready for some snow.
Oh, I've been a Packer fan for a long time, too.
So. I love it. Well, you're gonna have a great team to root for, that's for sure. Hey, I want to thank you both. I know Jeannie's going to be stopping by. Let me take a quick break, and then I'll bring Jeannie on. Again, if you want to get connected to Paul and Carol Quist, share your own story. Maybe they can help you in some respect. Simply go to Elizabeth Ministries, I believe it's .org or .com. I'll get that for you. I think I want to say .org, ElizabethMinistry.org. I'll clarify for you when I come back, because Jeannie's going to be joining me. She's the founder of Navigate Betrayal. And, of course, if you're dealing with pornography, she and her husband have a beautiful ministry there. But there's a new this new organization, I think, can really help. So stay with me. I'll dive into that when I come back.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
Mr. Shaolin.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You join me every Wednesday. I'm going to be doing a series called Touched by Grace, and I just love the story of Paul and Carol Quist. What a great story. They sought truth, they were open to it, and they found it. And God has strange ways of leading us down paths we never thought that we would go. I'm a radio broadcaster today. We reach over 250 million households nationwide. I'm heard via the internet around the world. Never, ever wanted to do talk radio. My career started very differently. And I think about Paul and Carol in the same way. They had their own plan, their own agenda. God had another one. And if you're open to God's grace, he'll lead you, he'll guide you, and you will never be happier. I could not be happier today. And I know they're the same way. My next guest understands that, too. Jeannie Hahnemann's been on the show with me many times. She's actually the foundress of that group you just heard about, Elizabeth Ministry. Not only founded that, that covers a whole wide range of things. I thought at one point it just dealt with women who were dealing with miscarriage, but it deals with a whole litany of things. In fact, Maggie, my producer, was saying to me during the break, she says, did you know because of all the possible threat of Roe v. Wade being overturned that vasectomies are now going through the roof? Men are running out to get them. And of course, Jeannie and her husband have been on to talk about pornography. They've just launched a new organization we'll talk about in the coming days, which will really help people who've been betrayed in their relationship. But I've invited Jeannie to join us today as a foundress of Elizabeth Ministry. That'll be a great opportunity to get her insight. And Jeannie, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for joining me. Paul and Carol were great. Thanks for recommending them. Thanks. Loved Paul and Carol. They were awesome. I appreciate the suggestion for them. So, you know, what's going on here? You know, a couple of things. I thought you'd be interested. The vasectomies are on the rise right now due to the fact that, you know, the Dobbs case, that decision is going to be looming any day now. Your thoughts on that and maybe fill everyone in for more information on what you're doing.
Well, one of the problems that, you know, men need to know about is that over 50% of men who have vasectomies end up with having some type of chronic health issue. And that is something that's not told to them ahead of time. So even from not a moral perspective, but from a physiological perspective, we really need to be able to address that issue honestly with men to know the danger that they're having. And so that's a big problem that most men don't realize they're having to deal with.
Is it the same with women who've had tubal ligations?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Yep. Is it the same with women who've had tubal ligations?
There are also many complications with that as well. Yes, in fact, you know, those complications, they even talk about those ahead of time to women to let them know that there are so many. It's the men that are never informed of such things.
Wow, and they're skyrocketing right now. They're on the rise. You've got a new organization coming up. I would like to talk to you about that a little bit later, but Elizabeth Ministry, and correct me, I want to make sure I give everyone the right address. Is elizabethministry.org or .com?
It's elizabethministry.org now.
.org.
And so you're remembering back when I used to pound in your head, it was .com. But we have a new executive director, Chris Crowley, and she is absolutely fantastic in taking the ministry just to deeper and higher places. And so she has a new website up for elizabethministry.org.
And Jeannie, I know that the quests are going to be part of that, but explain what it does for people. It's been around a long time. I know it does a lot to help women and, so many different ways. Explain what your ministry is about and how those who are listening can benefit.
Sure. Well, Elizabeth Ministry is based on the Visitation Mystery of the Rosary and Luke's story about Mary visiting Elizabeth. And so for us to understand that Mary was given this opportunity by God to do his will, but she was afraid. We know that because Scripture says it. Now, God could give her any gift to help her agree to his will. And the gift that he gives to her, the angel tells her about Elizabeth. Your kinswoman Elizabeth is pregnant in her old age, for nothing is impossible with God. Well, we interpret that to understand the greatest gift to help us do God's will is another person who can understand, mentor us, help us through that discernment process, through that difficulty in our life. So Elizabeth's ministry is based on women mentoring women during the joys, challenges, and sorrows of childbearing issues. So pregnancy, birth, infertility, miscarriages, stillbirths, child born with special needs, prenatal diagnosis of special needs, anything related to a life and love issue. And that began in 1991, but now it is expanded under the direction of Bishop David Ricken to not only address childbearing issues, but issues of sexuality and relationships. And one of our prime areas that we've been on Relevant Radio before is talking about healing from pornography problems. And that is the ReclaimSexualHealth.com website, where people can get online anonymous help with a phenomenal program that has brain scientists from Harvard who had created brain exercises to help people retrain their brains out of any kind of sinful habitual behaviors. The new program that we're going to be coming out with on the Feast of the Visitation, May 31st, and I know I'll be back on air with you to talk about that, is NavigateBetrayal.com, because we know that the program for Reclaim, if somebody really works it, they can find freedom and healing, but their marriage won't heal unless their spouse is also healed from the betrayal trauma. So that program will be for that. And then we want additional resources to be able to help that marriage survive that kind of sexual sin. And that's where Paul and Carol are going to become great assets to the ministry, because they have such a rich history of being able to understand, both with the degrees and things they have in life experiences and their training. Their specialty is in helping couples struggling with any kind of issue within marriage.
Jeannie, I want to talk about Navigate the Betrayal just for a moment, though, because you just mentioned pornography, and I know that, you know, Reclaim's having tremendous success there, but I thought what you were setting up was to help women who have been betrayed by the infidelity of their spouse, but you're saying, and I think probably pornography is far more common than a man cheating on his husband in terms of infidelity, sexually speaking. Not that pornography is not an infidelity, too, but... That's going to also help marriages heal. I mean, porn's like cocaine. I mean, it's like heroin. It's incredibly addictive to men, and to women too. I don't want to disparage that. And I know that a lot of women, you know, they try to get their husband's help, but they continue in that pattern of behavior. Yet there's a wound there in that marriage, and we don't often talk about what women go through. I mean, if a husband cheats on his wife with a secretary, okay, you know, there's that very visible, painful wound as well. The two are kind of the same, yet they're a little bit different. Maybe you can speak to them and why this will really benefit a woman.
Well, absolutely, and it doesn't matter what kind of sexual betrayal or intimacy, deception sometimes we call it. It doesn't matter if it's through pornography, if it's through a virtual affair, a physical affair, any of those things that go against the marital relationship between a husband and wife to be exclusive with one another. Anything that goes against that is going to cause a trauma to that spouse. And sometimes it's the wife that goes off and has an affair or gets hooked into masturbation or any of those unhealthy sexual behaviors as well. So we have suffering husbands as well as suffering wives. And years ago, the mental health professional used to look upon someone like this as being codependent, like they had somehow chosen a spouse who would betray them. And thanks be to God, wonderful people have come forward in the last about 8 years and changed the landscape for that. And we now recognize that this is a trauma. And many times it's a post-traumatic stress kind of trauma that happens to the person who's been betrayed. So Navigate Betrayal is a program that has been designed by women who have suffered. In this first part of it, I have to clarify that the first program launched on May 31st will be for women, for wives. No. Then we will get one out that will be for husbands who've been betrayed. But this particular program coming out May 31st, Navigate Betrayal, has been created by wives who get it, who've been in that position, wanting to be that Elizabeth for all the people who are currently going through that problem, along with a number of phenomenal experts that have also contributed to this program. And this, again, is completely online and can be anonymous if you so choose, program for women. But we'll have a lot of support resources. As Paul and Carol mentioned, we have a retreat center in the Diocese of Green Bay. We want to invite people to come here who are struggling not only with this, but perhaps any other issue, to make a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, and also be able to have a pre-pilgrimage retreat and a post-pilgrimage retreat.
So Jeannie, share with me a story or two of a woman who's encountered this type of betrayal.
Well, I could tell my own, right, Drew? You know, when my husband and I got married, I already knew he struggled with pornography, but I actually believed that once we were married and we could be sexually intimate, he'd have no need for pornography. Well, we were wrong, and 3 months into marriage, we were already into therapy, already seeing our priest, trying to figure out some of this. And what we now know that we didn't know, you know, 47 years ago when we got married, we understand the addictive nature of pornography and masturbation and those kinds of behaviors. But my husband got caught up in internet pornography, and he didn't tell me about that. And when he disclosed that to me, I was older by that time. My panic was I wasn't pretty enough anymore. I wasn't young enough anymore. And my self-concept started to really go downhill. And I was very blessed to have some women who came alongside of me and held me up. They held my pain. They were present. They were there for me as I struggled with that devastation. And there were times, Drew, when I heard the most god-awful sound. It was like a wounded animal screaming. And then I began to understand or recognize that noise was actually coming from me. It was such a guttural pain. I have worked with wives who've been betrayed for over 40 years. I've been running a support group and different support groups at different times with different women. And the pain that women experience when they've been betrayed in this way is that kind of guttural pain that hurts you to the core of who you are. And part of that we understand is God's plan is that a woman is to be cherished by her husband. And when we don't feel that being cherished, in fact, we feel the betrayal, it rips us apart in every part of our femininity. And so the need for us to recognize that women who suffer from betrayal, trauma from their husband's sexual sins need to be lifted up and supported by the faith community in order to be able to heal from that pain and in order to work on their marriage.
Well, if you want to join us, you have a question, a comment, you want to share your story, maybe you're going through this right now, I have a few moments left, but I'll open the phones at 888-914-9149. We see the divorce rate through they're just staggering numbers on how often marriages fail. You know, and you don't think of pornography as being an infidelity. You know, I think for some men they may not see that. Clearly,
well, we have to, Drew, because Jesus says so right in Matthew,
no doubt,
right?
No doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. But I think a lot of guys, you know, who are out there may not view that as much, but yet it's a reality. It deeply wounds the marital relationship, and there's consequences, even when they think it's in private, Jeannie, right? Even when they think that it's invisible and nobody else knows.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we recognize, if a man gets very hooked onto pornography with masturbation, he actually starts losing his ability to even have a sex drive towards his wife or even towards, you know, a real person. He becomes very withdrawn and very much focused on himself, because God designed the chemicals that our bodies release during orgasm to bond us to our spouse. And what happens is the person who's doing this becomes bonded to themselves. And so the self-centeredness, narcissistic behaviors, all of those things follow. So there's a complete breakdown of God's plan for masculinity when a man gets caught up in this kind of behavior.
Yeah. Well, Jeannie, I want to thank you for being with us and for all the work you do. I mean, from Elizabeth Ministry to Reclaim Sexual Health to Navigate, I think they're great ministries. The country is wounded, and that's what sin does. And we need the healing that God and His mercy are there to offer. I know you're a conduit for that. So Well, thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Thank being you here. For the opportunity, Drew. And have your listeners go to ElizabethMinistry.org, because under the leadership of our new executive director, Chris Crowley, and Paul and Carol Quist, who are going to be the house hosts at the Zachariah House of Healing Retreat Center, there's just many more great things to come.
Sounds great. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for bringing them to me. Tell Paul and Carol again, thanks. I really enjoyed their story. And you
thanks,
and I will talk again, Jeannie. Keep up the good work, okay?
You thanks too, Drew. Witness. God bless.
All right. I only have a moment or two left here with you. If you want more information, you tuned in late, you can always hit our archive. Just simply go to relevantradio.com and type in the Drew Mariani Show, or just do a search for Drew, and it'll pop up. And, of course, Maggie has a show up after we sign off. Give her an hour or so to get it up, but she'll get it up. And it's well worth listening to. Tremendous resources. And I'll dive into that issue in greater detail of how to find healing from betrayal in the days ahead. If you've got a great conversion story, if you come into the Catholic faith, you can email us, drew@relevantradio.com, or hit us up on Twitter. And I'd like to feature those. I'm going to do that once a week with you. I want to bring some goodness, some hope, some truth, some beauty. I want to show the power of God's mercy and the power of His grace to allow conversion and bring about new beginnings. I'm grateful for you and being able to spend my afternoon with you. Please say a prayer for me. I'll be praying for you. And stay tuned for Cale Clark. He's coming straight up. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, have a great day, and God bless.